I take my last breath and I go off into eternity, I cease to live on this earth, but my children live on. My wife lives on. And why would I assume that my responsibility for my children ends when I die? My responsibility for my children continues on through their life.
Welcome to Better Together.
Better Together is a podcast that is all about marriage, family relationships, and parenting.
We take scriptural truths from God's Word and apply them to the situations that you are going through right now with your family.
Do you want to be encouraged as a parent?
Are you looking for guidance to make your marriage stronger?
We want to invite you to join us every week as we grow better together. So DJ, the other day when we talked with Audra Smith, one of the things that really stood out to me was the importance of putting your affairs in order before it's too late.
Sure.
When Jeremy, Audra's husband, got sick and ended up in the hospital, you know, it was too late then for him to do that.
Yeah, that was something that I've been thinking about since that episode. And of course, we haven't even aired that episode yet. It's coming out next week. But it's been something that I've been thinking about because on top of the grief of losing her husband, she had all of the other things, all of the financial issues that kind of got stacked on top of it. Bills, bank statements, wills, credit cards, all of that. And as she described it, it was overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that I'm going to do something about it. Okay?
Good.
Now, I'm not planning on anything happen.
Yes, please
but,
don't.
But honestly, that's why you have to do this. Because these are things that... Because Audra never thought that Jeremy was going to get sick and end up in the hospital. But at the point that it happened, it was too late. So I've come up with a list of 9 things that I'm going to do for our house to make sure that we are in order and prepared in case something like that happens. And that's our topic today. 9 things to get in order today in case something happens to me tomorrow. Is that good?
That's good. By the way, when he told me what he was doing, I had to chuckle. And I said, well, just keep the house mom clean if something happens to me. That's your one command.
Yeah. I'm DJ.
And I'm Lori.
And this is Better Together. So more than 200 years ago, Benjamin Franklin said, "In this life, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes." And you know, we forget this until tragedy strikes and a hurting family is left to try to figure out where they stand with finances, with insurance, with credit cards, bank balances, life savings, mortgages, I mean, you name it. And this has happened time and time again. In fact, the reason why we're having this conversation today is because of a conversation that I had with Audra Smith. If you remember, we've been talking about the interview that we were going to have with her. We met with her on Tuesday night. We're able to record our podcast episode. Those are going to actually be released next week in 2 parts. And in that process, my wife asked a really good question, and that was about if their family was prepared for the loss of her husband. And Audra was very upfront and open about some of the needs that they've had as a family. And it got me thinking more and more about what I need to do as a husband. And I'll be honest with you, I've put more thought into planning vacations. I've put more thought into planning trips to the zoo than I have into making sure that on the day after I pass away, my family is left secure and there are fewer questions because I've at least laid things out ahead of time. Now, if you're listening to this and it's just you, wives, if you're listening to this, I would encourage you go ahead and listen. And then at some point tonight, sit down with your husband and a piece of paper and ask your husband to listen to this with you. Say, honey, would you please sit down and listen to this with me? I think this is something that would be helpful for us to hear. And your husband needs to hear this. And men, if you're listening to this, heart to heart, from a man to a man, this is our responsibility. You know, our legacy, of what we leave for our family doesn't end when we take our last breath. My life, in fact, doesn't end. Now, my physical life does, but I continue living on through my children and my influence to my children. And the last thing I want to do is make those first few days without me very, very difficult. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." Now, Paul is telling us there in that verse very simply that there is an appointment for death, and we don't know when it's going to happen. And Jeremy, Audra's husband, who we just had this interview with, she had no idea. They had no idea that he was going to be passing, and it was very sudden, and it was not something they were prepared for. And so we're going to look at 9 things today that we can do to prepare our families for the day after we pass. And that will help make that process a little bit easier. And hopefully as a husband, I will do my due diligence in making sure that my wife is taken care of in that process. All right, here we go. Number 1, life insurance policy. Very important that if you can afford this, and let me tell you, whatever you can afford, I really think you ought to do this, especially if you have younger children. A life insurance policy. Now, I've heard you hear a lot of different sort of guidelines on how much life insurance to get. Here's one that I ran across the other day: any of your debt plus 5 years of salary plus your estimated college expenses for your kids. So let's say you're in a $250,000 house and you still owe $150,000 on it. So that's $150,000 plus 5 years of your salary plus estimated college expenses for your children. And here's why that's important. When you pass away, husbands, if you are the breadwinner, if you are the primary income, you know, you're the primary provider for the family when it comes to income, your wife is going to need a place to live. And unless your house is purchased outright, unless you own it outright, your wife needs a place to live. Your wife is going to need some time in order to get her feet back underneath her emotionally. Your kids have expensive needs that, honestly, on a one income salary, just a one person salary raising children, that'd be very, very difficult. So life insurance policy. And we did this a couple of years ago, and this is something that I update every year. And we followed a similar pattern, except we live in a parsonage, which means I don't even have a house that offers any equity. So we had to go with, or I went with a little bit more for my life insurance, because I'm really banking on the fact that my wife would have to purchase something outright. Because we don't have anything. We live in a parsonage. So life insurance policy. Number 2, a will. This is one of the most important documents that you can have when it comes to estate planning. If you don't have a will, then you are leaving it up to the state laws to determine how your estate is handled. Now, obviously, if just you pass away and your wife is still living, then in most states, and I know it is in the state of North Carolina, that doesn't go to probate. I mean, obviously your wife is there, she's your spouse. And so I would imagine that would be the case in most places. And I'm confident that it is. However, if both you and your wife pass away, which is a possibility, and we've seen that happen before, if there is no will, then it's going to be up to the lawyers, the probate judge. And let me ask, do you think that a bunch of lawyers and a judge are going to do with your children what you would want to do? Now, if you're comfortable with that, then that's fine. But let me tell you, I'm not comfortable with that. And especially with kids, this is critical, because who is given responsibility for your children if both of you pass away? And this is not a difficult thing to do. Listen, you may say, "Oh, DJ, our family, we love each other. My brothers and my sisters, we all get along." Well, don't forget your spouse's brothers and sisters, because everyone would have equal say. And the reality is, I've seen situations where families that got along great were faced with this very difficult, tense time. And all of a sudden, like, who's going to step up and be able to make decisions? Because realize, if you and your spouse pass away today, then tonight your kids are sleeping somewhere. And if you have both your parents alive and your spouse's parents alive, somebody's going to be stepping in and saying, come sleep at my house. And it inevitably can create tension and it can create doubt because you have, I mean, one set of parents, they've grown up a certain way and they feel like they're just as equipped to take care of your children. Listen, have a will. Think about that ahead of time and make sure you have that covered. Number three, make sure you update any beneficiaries when it comes to life insurance or retirement accounts. And here's why. According to many state laws, and obviously you need to check on this with your state, but many of these savings or life insurance or retirement accounts, they don't pay into the will. They don't pay into the estate. They pay to the beneficiary. And so if the beneficiary has not been updated recently, you know, let's say your spouse passes away and your life insurance pays to your spouse. And so now your spouse has passed away. When you pass away, what happens to that life insurance? And that's going to be left up to the courts. So you want to make sure you change any of the beneficiaries that you have before anything could happen to you. All right, number four, and this is a new one, but very important. Make sure you have set aside the proper documentation for digital assets. And I'm talking here about two things. First of all, I'm talking about any cryptocurrency. And as silly as you may think that seems, the reality is that there are many people that are saving and investing in cryptocurrency. And cryptocurrency is not like the bank that, you know, your local bank, where if you forget your password, you just call to your bank and you talk to Sally Mae up at the front desk and she pulls you up on the computer and you get your new password. And so don't think that, you know, if you pass away and your digital assets are not secured, that your children are going to be able to get to them. They are not. The lengthy wallet address needs to be something that is stored securely, but stored in a way that your kids can get to it. The unique key that unlocks that wallet, the secret key. I mean, if you don't have those things, then no matter how much you have saved or prepared or invested in your digital assets, if your children don't, number one, if they don't know it's there, but number two, if they can't get to it, there's nobody that's going to help them. Like, you can't call the Bitcoin bank. There's no calling any of these cryptocurrency, you know, and I say that in jest because that doesn't exist. Nobody's going to help you. Like, there's no 1-800 number to call to get that access. You have to have access to those digital assets and make sure that is written down in a way that your children or your spouse knows how to get to that. Also under digital assets, your social media. And I know that may kind of seem, you may think that seems crazy, but social media, websites, your digital footprint. I mean, for some people, what you do digitally is a big part of your life, especially if it's part of a family business. I mean, I'm thinking about this right now. I own a pottery business and it's not large and it's just more of a hobby. But I do have money that's wrapped up into that, that's in my account through my website. And if I were to pass away, my wife doesn't really know how to get to that. And it's not thousands and thousands of dollars, but it's a few thousand that's wrapped up in that system that my kids will need to get access to. And so that's something that I need to make sure I have recorded. And so any of your digital assets, all right? Number five. Official documents, property deeds, vehicle titles, birth certificates, marriage certificates, copies of your insurance policy, important phone numbers, your insurance policy provider, maybe the insurance individual, the broker that you've worked through. These are all important. And if that stuff is not readily available, it's possible your kids won't even know where to start looking. It's possible your spouse doesn't even know about that insurance policy. So have all of this stuff together in one place where you have all of your official documents, including number six, your banking information. And I realize that this is very serious and sensitive information. I mean, we're talking accounts, what banks your accounts are at, passwords for online access. And you may say, there's no way in the world I'm writing all this down. Well, you've got to have it down somewhere. Like, your family has to be able to get access to this. And we're gonna talk in a few minutes about some safe locations. But wherever the safe location is, you have to have a place for these official documents and for your banking information. And can I encourage you, keep it simple. A couple of years ago, I was helping a family who was working through some banking situation, and they had multiple accounts in multiple banks, and they weren't even really being used for much, but it was a little bit here and a little bit there. And I really encouraged them, you need to consolidate for the sake of your family. Consolidate that down so that you just have one bank. Now, you're going to have multiple accounts, and that's fine, but one bank that you can work with, not multiple banks that your wife or your husband is going to have to be working through. All right, number seven, we're working our way toward the end. Number seven, credit card information. Can you imagine the pain of you carrying a credit card balance, a large balance, and three months after you pass away, your wife gets a notice of delinquency and it says it's going to collections, and she didn't even know that you had this credit card debt. So when it comes to credit cards, I'm going to tell you two things. Number one, don't leave your family in secret debt. Don't do it. All that is so painful for your family. Don't leave your family in secret debt. Make sure any debt that you have is something that all of your family knows about, that your spouse knows about, and is easy to track and trace right there in those important documents. And I would say number two, then make sure that all of your credit card information, the numbers, the access codes, your login numbers, your passwords, make sure all of that is easy to get to. I mean, we have multiple credit cards. We're not carrying balances on them. We use them just for building credit, and we use them for personal things. We don't carry a balance, so we're not in credit card debt, but we have multiple credit cards, and we do use them to pay for certain things. My spouse, my wife needs to know that, so that if I were to pass away, whatever I just paid on the credit card yesterday that I was going to pay off tomorrow through our bank account, she needs to know about that. So make sure all of that is well documented for your spouse. And I would say this, once you put together your estate plan, don't just put all of that stuff that we just talked about, don't put all of that just in a safe place and forget about it. I would say yearly, maybe on your birthday or at Christmas, you should revisit these documents and make sure that they still reflect what you want for your family and make sure that they are accurate. All right, number eight, I would encourage you to include some final loving words to your family. It can be in the form of a letter. It could be a video that's saved on a thumb drive. It could be whatever it is, a journal that you decide to write each day in for the next month, and you're writing to your spouse or you're writing to your children. That is incredibly loving and kind to do something like that for your family. Can you imagine if you passed away today, wives or husbands? Can you imagine if you passed away today and your spouse opened up that packet of, you know, this is the important stuff if I die, and in that they find a 2 or 3 page letter laying out your love and undying devotion for them and for the children? That's something they would hold on to forever. So leave something in those important documents, things that you want your family to remember. That will leave a lasting impact. And then that leads us to number nine. Take all of that and make sure, number nine, it's in a safe, known location. Now, not known to everyone, but it has to be known to someone. Like, it has to be safe. Yeah, safe and secure. maybe a fireproof safe or a folder on your computer that's marked, you know, if I die, or a safe deposit box. Those are whatever, okay? But it has to be known. Like, other people have to know and have access to that. I mean, and I know you can say, well, my wife knows it's there. Please understand, if both you and your spouse pass away and your four younger children are left and your last will and testament is on a file folder on your computer and no one knows your password, then guess what? It's going to the state. Like, no one knows what to do. So you can't just assume, oh, it'll work out, it'll be okay. It has to be in a space that is known. So I would encourage you that your spouse knows where it is, and then that your parents, if they're alive, know where it is. And then if your parents are not alive, then go to your brothers and sisters. So that would be like your children's aunts and uncles, so your siblings. And keep it on the adult level, but someone needs to know where to look. And someone needs to know where the key is to that safe deposit box, because the bank ain't going to be opening it for them without that key. So make sure that it is a safe, known location. And why do we go to all this trouble? Why do we go to all this trouble? We go to all this trouble because my life doesn't end when I take my last breath. When I take my last breath and I go off into eternity, I cease to live on this earth, but my children live on. My wife lives on. And why would I assume that my responsibility for my children ends when I die? My responsibility for my children continues on through their life. My legacy as a husband lives on through my children. So it is an act of delinquency for me as a husband to not prepare for the life of my family after I die. I want my kids to know that I cared enough for them to make the darkness of death a little bit less dark, a little bit more manageable. I know if I pass away, it's going to be hard on my kids. I know it will be difficult on my wife, but it will be more difficult if I have not prepared ourselves as a family financially for that. It will be more difficult if there's credit card debt that they don't know about. It will be more difficult if they can't find the title to the cars, and these cars are worthless because they can't sell them because we can't find a title. So please understand, we go to all this trouble so that we can continue to impact our families even after we are gone. Hey, as we close today, can I just remind you that Better Together is a listener-supported project. And if you want to help us keep the mics on with a donation as small as the cost of a cup of coffee, you can help support us by clicking on the support link on our website. It's growingbettertogether.org. Or you can go to buymeacoffee.com and simply type in Better Together and follow the prompts. And any amount that you give would be a help as we simply pay for the expenses of the podcast to keep things going here at Better Together. Until next time, our prayer is that God will use His Word to help you, your marriage, and your family grow better together.